goodbye, Norma Jean. No, I never knew you at all. You had the grace to hold.
Greetings and welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS political newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of MERS, joined by the boss, John Roerink, Lauren Gibbons, Jacob Kanzler, and Craig Mauger, who's sitting at one of the cleanest desks I've ever seen him sit at. Very sad occasion, as you can tell. We only play the Elton John song when something sad is departing, and today it would be Mr. Mauger's last day. But we'll talk to him a little bit more about that later, as well as Senator David Kinesic, kind of doing the prequel of the Democrats' response to the State of the State. And with the State of the State upon us tomorrow, John, the question is, how much time does he spend on the city of Flint's water woes?
I think what he does is he catalogs really quickly what they've already done. He acknowledges the problem, but I don't think he needs to spend a ton of time on it. I mean, look, this week he rolled out the state police and deployed them in Flint. He's deployed the National Guard in Flint. Last night he asked for federal assistance. We might even get a response on that as early as this weekend. I think he could point to that in the speech. But I don't know that spending a ton of time on the issue of Flint in the middle of the State of the State address is all that necessary.
But when you're talking about what the State is, the State of the State right now is Flint, yes?
One of our largest cities is in a public health crisis. People don't know if they can securely and safely drink the water coming out of their tap. Right. This is a huge issue. He's got to dedicate, in my mind, most of the speech to this issue. He's got to show that he cares about what's going on in Flint by dedicating his most important speech of the year to this matter, how he's going to resolve it, that he has compassion for these people, and that he is really staying up late at night, not being able to sleep, thinking about this issue. I think that's what people want to see.
I think you say that. I think you say that before you catalog what he's done today. But my point is, this is the one time a year that he gets a statewide audience where he can set the legislative agenda. He should acknowledge the problem. He should say what he's done. If he wants to tie it into an infrastructure program to make some investments across the state infrastructure, that's fine. But I'm not sure I would give up the podium and the ability to set the legislative agenda and spend the entire speech or even a bulk of the speech on Flint.
But with the exception of perhaps Detroit public schools, he has this statewide audience. Those are the two issues that people in the state care about right now. Or if they don't, they should. And they're seeing all these national news organizations cover these issues. If he doesn't spend a lot of time on that, he's immediately going to get criticized by the protesters standing outside. They already plan to do that.
He's going to get criticized by the protesters no matter what. That's true. What I think it was Rochelle Riley wrote last week, that Flint is going to be his legacy. Well, it may or it may not. We'll see. If you dedicate one of your 8 State of the State addresses entirely to this crisis, you're almost guaranteeing that it's going to be your legacy. He's dealt with the issue, and I think you catalog what you've done. You state that there was a problem and the state is moving to correct it, that you're concerned about the welfare of the children in the city of Flint. But I don't think you give up the entire hour to the city of Flint.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time. Remember when he did the entire City of the State basically on the roads package? That speech was basically all about roads. So I could see why he would dedicate at least most of it to. And I don't think he wants to be put in a position where people ask afterwards, okay, did he do enough on the city of Flint? And I don't think he wants the answer to be no. You know, because he's got an opportunity for the answer to be yes.
Yeah, I mean, and let's look at what's been going on this week. I mean, the governor has acted in a way that has at least tried to respond to all the different angry requests. I mean, we want federal aid. We want more power to the Flint mayor. And he has acquiesced to that, as many people think he should. So the State of the State would, again, be another opportunity to show that, you know, I care about this. This is a big deal. We're gonna put time into it. And based on what he's already done, he doesn't really seem to have an option in terms of not dedicating some part of it to the Flint situation.
You know, taking a look at some of the other issues that are on the table, I know he wants to talk about energy. He wants to talk about criminal justice reform. Both of those are things that really probably in his mind need to be pushed back a little bit further in the calendar. Flint, and you mentioned the Detroit Public Schools situation, Lauren. There is a school district that is going to run out of money in April and, according to state law, cannot be loaned any more money. What are they going to do, just end school, you know, come April? I mean, something has to be done on that regard, too. And so I think he's got to give ample attention to that issue, too. And if those are the only two issues that are really dove into with any substance, I wouldn't be surprised. John, I know, disagrees, and that's good, because we need disagreement.
No, I think he should.
Because last time we all agreed on something, we were all wrong.
I think he should address both issues. I'm saying I think you want to try to put something else in the speech, too, that has a positive resonance across the political landscape. I'm not saying ignore Flint at all by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying I don't think you give the entire hour to this crisis that's already consumed a lot of time, that we're now talking about bringing federal aid. There's things on moving. You should talk about that. But I still think you should reserve, the governor should reserve the ability to propose some new legislation to go somewhere different.
So if I was crafting a bullshit bingo card for the State of the State address, should I include on the squares relentless positive action and dog years? Does he want to utter those words, or will they ring real hollow?
I think he sticks with relentless positive action.
Do
Why
you?
Not?
Okay,
well, sure.
Agreement? Disagreement?
I'd be surprised if he did that, just because, I mean, I know he's going to want to do something positive, and we have to realize the governor's kind of out of his element right now. He wants things to be positive. He always wants to have a positive story, but these are serious times. The largest school district is in crisis. One of our biggest cities is in crisis that has reached international and national stage. These aren't happy times, so he has to acknowledge that in our state. So the state of the state might not be positive this year because we have a public crisis on our hands that is not only very serious but embarrassing on a national scale. That
I have a hard time, just back to what John was talking about, I have a hard time picturing a scenario where the headlines coming out of this event are not about Flint, because the protesters are going to be here no matter what he unveils on these other issues. I just have a hard time seeing it outweigh Flint, because on all of these issues he's already given lengthy speeches about those issues alone. He's had how many press conferences on DPS? He's had speeches on energy. He's had a speech on criminal justice reform. So we've heard him focus on those issues. Flint is going to be the issue of the night. I mean, I'm sure the Democrats are going to focus on that in their response. So, I mean, whether he dedicates his speech to that or not, I have a feeling the headlines are going to be about that.
Oh, I think you're right. I'm just saying, from sort of thinking about as you're thinking about what you would want to craft in this speech as a communications aide to the governor, or even the governor himself, you know, I think you address the issue. I think you outline what you did. But I don't think you spend the entire 56 minutes or however long the speech winds up being solely talking about Flint. You can't just go up there and hang your head. I mean, you can't
No, you don't have to hang your head. I mean, he can use this as an opportunity to discuss other initiatives that he may want to do in the future. Maybe now is the time to talk about some type of task force to look at all the public infrastructure in the state and all the cruddy pipes that could be leaking God knows what into our water. This is, cue it up, Elton John. Thank you. All right, the last day of Craig Mauger here at MERS. Craig, this has been a great 3.5-year run. Appreciate all of the contributions you've given, not only the podcast, the newsletter, public speaking events. You've just done a phenomenal job for us, and I wish you well in your next venture.
Oh, thank you so much, Kyle. I'm going to miss being on the podcast every Monday. I might just have to fake this out in my new office, I'm just talking to myself for 45 minutes every Monday.
Every Monday.
Well, we may have you on in future podcasts, given your new venture.
Yeah, I'm going to be the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network here in Lansing. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to multiple appearances on the podcast and multiple invites from you.
Well, we'll have to have you on at least once a year, especially during campaign finance time, so you can pin down who's doing well, who's doing bad, and then maybe you can be the watchdog out there and tell us when people are kind of sidestepping or ignoring the law.
That's the hope. Yeah. That is the hope.
And you will be succeeding Rich Robinson, and what's he doing then?
Rich Robinson's going to be joining the board, so he'll be a member of the board of the directors for the organization. Very exciting.
Well, I know you're going to do a great job in that role, and we're very excited to see you doing some work for the whole state of Michigan, and I know you're going to do really well. All right. Well, with that, we're going to switch it over now to Senator David Kinesic. All right, so joining us for the podcast now, Senator David Kinesic, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Appreciate it.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Now, you delivered the Democratic response to the State of the State last year. This year, it's the House's turn to deliver the response. But if you were to give the State of the State response this year, what issues would you focus on?
Well, not only if I was given the response, I probably speak to what I'd like to hear the governor talk about in his State of the
Please.
State. First and foremost, we can't deal with any more river of opportunity. We can't deal with the relentless positive action. We don't want the political BS this year. We want to have a very honest conversation. We want to hear the governor speak very openly and transparently about what is the state of Michigan right now. And for people that live in Flint, people that live in Detroit, people that live everywhere in between, Things are not going particularly well here in the state of Michigan. And rather than the political fluff or a catchy tagline, I'd like to see the governor come out, take some responsibility, and lay out a very clear plan for how he's going to fix the situations in Flint, how he's going to fix the situation with Detroit Public Schools, because the state of Michigan and him as the head of this state bear responsibility for all of those things.
Well, let's talk about Flint first here, and then we'll go on to Detroit. You would agree, wouldn't you, that he has taken some steps to try and remedy the situation? The National Guard's been activated. State police has been going door-to-door with water. He has taken some steps to try and take care of the situation.
You know, I remember when I first came into the legislature, and I was told there's a difference between a show horse and a workhorse. And right now, with Governor Snyder, I think that we're seeing a lot of show horse, right, where we're going to call up the National Guard and we're going to send the state police house to house. How long have we known about this situation in Flint? It's been months. And what we're seeing right now is a political reaction to the outcries that we're seeing, not just here in the state of Michigan, but across the entire country, to see some action. I talked about the River of Opportunity earlier. Little did we know that the River of Opportunity was going to be contaminated with lead and poisoning the individuals within the city of Flint. The governor sent water purification devices in August to residents. He's claiming now that he had no idea that this water was poisoned until October. And so for me, there's a tremendous amount of pause there that begs the question, what did the governor know and when did he know it?
Imagine, so if he knew about it in October.
I think he knew about it in August. Why would you send the purification devices in August if you didn't think that there was a problem that needed to be addressed? We're seeing so many emails that are coming out, so many correspondences that talk about what the state of Michigan knew, steps that the department did or did not take, or even in some cases were negligent or tried to cover up facts in order to not trigger some sort of national level investigation. FEMA had to invite itself into the state of Michigan because the governor refused to do so for so long. And so, you know, I put myself in the shoes of those residents living in Flint, some of whom have not had drinking water coming out of their faucets, coming out of their taps for 2 years. I had dinner at Leader Ananick's house the other day. Everything was being cooked with bottled water. We were drinking bottled water. Could you imagine waking up each and every day and having to live like that in 2016? The fact that we as a state cannot provide suitable and safe drinking water to an entire community, that is straight out of the 1800s. And well, the fact that we haven't addressed it yet is incredibly troubling for me.
Now he says that he wasn't getting accurate information, that the information they were getting was that everything was fine, the tests were coming back okay.
Well, I think that what we're seeing now is that there were so many failures along the way. Individuals who were or were not doing the testing, people who were or were not botching the reports, were or were not sending them up the chain of command. At the end of the day, he's the governor. The buck stops with him. He needs to accept responsibility. And again, all I have to do is look to his actions. And his actions last August were to send water purification devices to Flint. That tells me that he knew something. That tells me that there was a cause for concern in August. Why is it that we're not taking a very serious step until January of 2016? We have to wait for the federal government to come in and try and light the fire under our butts. We've got a federal investigation being done by Barbara McQuaid out of southeastern Michigan. Things are getting incredibly serious, and the temperature is getting turned up for the governor right now. And so, again, I think what you're seeing is a political reaction to this situation rather than a genuine and caring approach that we should have seen months ago.
Well, now, he has accepted the resignation of DEQ Director Dan Wyant. If you were governor in this situation, what would you do? What do you think he should do that would maybe present a more compassionate approach to handling the situation?
That's exactly it. I think showing a little compassion would probably be a good start. It doesn't matter if it's the governor, it doesn't matter if it's the DEQ or the spokesperson there. You had the state of Michigan telling individuals that there was nothing to worry about. And not only that there was nothing to worry about, that you should relax over it. If a tornado hit in the state of Michigan, if a flood hit in the state of Michigan and destroyed people's homes, would we tell everybody to relax? Or would we saddle up and take action? The governor hasn't taken any action today in a meaningful or a substantive way. It doesn't matter to me the price tag. It doesn't matter to me what resources we have to expend. We are poisoning our own people. We have to pay. We have to take action. And we should have done it months ago. And so I'm thankful that we've got individuals like Sheldon Neely and individuals like Jim Ananick who represent the city of Flint who have been trying to hold these individuals accountable from the beginning. But again, a little too late, in my opinion. Making sure that we switched over to DWSD is just a start of that. We have a massive amount of infrastructure improvements that we have to do in Flint due to the fact that the lead water corroded those pipes. Look at General Motors. They haven't used Flint water for years because they know that it erodes the engine blocks. If it's bad for an engine that sits in your car, it certainly is bad for the children of Flint. And when you talk about the long-term effects here, the poisoning that have taken place within the city, this is not going to go away. This is not going to, you know, here's some medication, you're going to be able to cure it. This is going to be passed on from generation to generation, and the state of Michigan is liable for that. And I would like to see, again, just a sincere or genuine admission of what took place here in the state and in a commitment to resolving it as soon as possible.
This is going to take a lot of money, isn't it?
It's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of time. But again, when it comes to the health of the residents of the city of Flint and across the state, you can't put a price tag on that. And we as legislators cannot use the cost of righting this wrong as an excuse to not take any action.
Let's talk about the Detroit Public Schools reform proposal the governor is putting out. Now, the governor is looking like at this point taking the management portion out of this package and focusing more on the financial issues and maybe the academic standards. Are you okay with that?
You know, I think focusing on the financials is obviously a piece of the puzzle. The academics is a piece of the puzzle, but I think the management aspect is really critical. If we want to put together a system that has some longevity, that ensures that we are not right back where we are now 10 years down the road. And so it doesn't matter if you're in a public school or if you're in a charter school. If you're a student in the state of Michigan, a student in the city of Detroit, mm-hmm. You know, that's really irrelevant to you. You want to go to school. You want to get a good education. And we have a system right now that allows some schools to pop up right next to our public schools. They're siphoning away children. They're taking away funding. We're putting the squeeze on public education right now within the city of Detroit. Not to mention, you know, the infrastructure issues that we have, as detailed by the tour that was taking place yesterday. But to me, the management aspect really is key if you're talking about putting a system in place that allows the best actors to continue to serve the citizens and the students of Detroit, and allows for the bad actors, regardless of who they are, to go away.
What does this proposal have to have to get your support and, more broadly, the support of other Democrats that represent Detroit?
Sure. I know that, you know, at first blush, we want to make sure that the state of Michigan is held responsible and pays the amounts of money that were incurred under emergency management. You got to remember now, to tie these two issues together, the same gentleman who was the emergency manager in Flint that resulted in this crisis that we have in Flint right now is now managing Detroit Public Schools. And so how can we act surprised when we see that we have another emergency situation down in Detroit? And so the state of Michigan needs to take responsibility and needs to pick up the price tag for the problems that were incurred under state management. I think that's, you know,
So no more loans. So no more loans for Detroit. They have to pay the bill and get this thing straightened out.
Yeah, I think there's no question. And what I will say is that I think that the governor understands and accepts that as well in this particular issue. I know for me and a number of other Democrats, we want to make sure that the educational experiment that is the EAA goes away, that those schools are folded back into Detroit Public Schools. We want to make sure that the employees of DPS are able to remain within, you know, sort of this old co, new co model that the governor speaks about. But again, those are just tips of the iceberg. We have to talk about poverty in a real way in Detroit right now, and that's a conversation that some of my colleagues just don't seem to be as receptive to as I would like. You know, you could talk about changing management. You could talk about paying down the debt. That doesn't do anything to fix why a student leaves school on Friday and doesn't have a meal until they come to school again on Monday. That doesn't address three generations of illiteracy. That doesn't address the transportation issues that we have getting students to and from their school and their homes. There are so many things that we need to address in this issue. And I personally don't believe that this is just one shot, right? I think this is a multi-step process. I think that if we can get the finances addressed, if we can get the management addressed, if we can get the structural issues addressed, we need to then come back and make sure that we are addressing the academic issues, the safety issues in a comprehensive way as well.
Two-thirds of the Detroit public school teachers didn't show up to work on Monday. What was your reaction to that?
You know, my reaction is certainly in support of the teachers. You know, I've been talking to my colleagues in the days since those sick-outs or those walk-outs, whatever you want to call them, and some of my colleagues say to me, you know, why would the teachers do that? This is just, you know, so backwards from what we would expect, and this just reflects poorly on them. And my response to that is, you know, the teachers have been trying to get our attention for so long now. They had to take drastic steps in order to get the attention of the legislature. They had to do whatever it took in order to get us to understand the situation that they're facing down in the city of Detroit.
It could backfire, though.
It could backfire, and I'm cognizant of that, Kyle. But at the end of the day, I want to make sure that the residents of Detroit know that I support our teachers, that I support our students, and that here in Lansing, I want to do everything that we can to make sure that we can provide a quality system of education for students within the city of Detroit.
David Kinesic, State Senator from the 5th District.
5th District.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of MERS Monday. Thanks to the whole crew here, Senator Kinesic, for the time. Any parting thoughts, guys? Most memorable moments of Craig Mauger?
Nothing.
Nothing? How about Craig's investigation into who put the bowl into the sink? Hey, you know what? We have an admittance. Just for our listeners' benefit, our mom, our assistant upstairs, Vicki Miller, had issued a proclamation to the office proclaiming that she was not our mother and she would not be picking up the dirty dishes out of the sink and putting them in the dishwasher. Craig, I appreciate your investigation into the matter. However, we have someone who has admitted to the dirty deed.
I'm guilty. I did it.
But
I have a good excuse. I was trying to help move along the process last night so somebody could get to a basketball game, and I quickly ate my soup, set it in the sink, and forgot about it when I went back to the computer.
That was me. And I do appreciate it because I only missed a minute of the basketball game. But as it turned out, I should have missed all 40 minutes of it because the whole thing was horrid from beginning to end.
Does Vicki listen to these before she sends them out?
We're going to find out.
She's going to hear some really good spin from John if she does.
She already heard this.
So thank you, Vicki, for making sure that we are tidy down here. We do appreciate that. We don't want to be living in filth. All right, so with that image all in your minds, till next week, I'm Kyle Malin. Take care.
The candle burned out.